Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J. 92.9 FM ESPN. Try to keep myself composed today. But I'm coming in here floating, let me tell you what. Did you see that last night? Chicago Bears coming back from down again. Your boy stayed up last night. I took it all in after Caleb had led us back. And Jake Moody, who I didn't even know was on the team, kicked his fourth field goal for the Bears to win 25-24 at Washington. Exercise the demons. That was the Hail Mary, Fail Mary debacle of last year. Bears went on to lose 9 straight. Washington went on to the NFC Championship game. Remember that?
Yeah.
Two teams went in different directions after that game. I stayed up all night. I let SportsCenter play over and over and over, and I drank my coffee, and I played my Homescapes, and I just kept taking it in.
Homescapes.
That's how I get down.
Jesus. Like a grandfather.
When I'm feeling real good. Man, back in my young days, might have celebrated different.
Oh, yeah, what was your drink of choice?
A little Masson.
There we go, a little Paul Masson.
Don't need it, been delivered, to God be the glory. Much cleaner. Much cleaner last night in terms of that celebration. And it was a one-man show. Even Chris, after a while, he had to go down. What a win it was, if you're a Bears fan. Does it mean they're here? Does it mean they've arrived? We'll get answers to those questions from my partner, my brother. He'll tell me whether or not I'm too giddy today. He certainly had some texts last night.
Again, these texts are not admissible in the court of law,
man. You know they are. We've been doing this show 9 years.
This is a recent development of the admission into the court of law.
We'll get to it. Also, Bills, there's a word. There's a word that was floating around some of those texts last night.
Now, this one we can bring.
I'm going to save it. Because it might come up. But there's a word about the Bills who lost to the Atlanta Falcons. Bijan Robinson.
The F word.
It is an F word. Not that F word.
As President Trump would say, you should never say it. You should never use the F word. You should never say it. But we're going to say it. That's actually his.
I'm going to let you say
his shtick is, I don't want to have to use the N word. There's two N words that you can't use.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think you should use any of the N-words, but there's two of them, you know. So, anyway, I think there is one word that we can use about the Bills, and we'll get into that today on the show. But I don't want to cut you off.
I really don't have anything else.
Okay,
because
all right.
We can do 3 hours.
We can on this miraculous come-from-behind. It really was. It was a come-from-behind victory. Down 8 on the road.
Ben has reached his capable hands into a mess. And he is pulling out of it a team that might be rising, might be ascending to something great. We're not there yet.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll get into all
of
that today on the show. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about the Memphis Grizzlies.
Maybe she can put her capable hand into that.
Yes.
And pull out something that we can learn
absolutely.
From this preseason.
How many games we got left?
Two
games left in the preseason. Counting them down, baby. So we'll get into all that with Jessica Benson at 11:25. The Q word has been thrown around in terms of the fantasy. It's been thrown around.
We'll see.
I mean, a lot of words get thrown around, man.
Yeah. For a champ to come back like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got some questions.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Jessica Benson about all that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, we're going to start doing this regularly, as obviously the Tigers are a national story. They are a national brand at this point, nationally relevant. Game day still on the table, according to athletic director Ed Scott, Dr. Ed Scott. Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphis is going to join us Tuesdays at 1:25.
I like that.
Regularly.
Tuesdays with Frank.
Frank, not DeWanna Bonner. DeWanna just got put out of the finals. Was it a sweep? I'm pretty sure it was a sweep, right? Yeah, the Aces got that done in four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again.
You don't think that's a great nickname?
It really wasn't focused on that. Okay, was focused on the Aces and your MVP.
Asia. Goat.
She is.
She is really something.
We didn't talk about it.
We didn't, but
probably
we should
have. Just to address, I should have given her a respect burger.
No question.
I missed it.
You did. You did.
That's on me.
And you know what? That's between you and Trista Crick. You're going to have to take it up with her.
No.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Trista Marie Crick going to be on your ass. And that's just.
I did miss it yesterday. We had a shortened version.
That's between you and Trista. But Frank's going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the matchup this weekend. Obviously, game day, what he's hearing about all that, and more. So, or not game day. I don't know how we're calling it.
I hear folks are still holding out hope.
I think folks are still holding out hope. I mean, for me, I'm not. I'm just like, you know, if it happens, it happens. You know, my focus is laser focus.
I felt like you and I had the last word on that yesterday.
No, we did.
I'm kidding, but it felt
final. And then they came back, and they said, wait a minute. No, not yet. It's not dead yet.
Okay.
So, anyway, that is the show today. Normally, we do like to start the week with a variety of topics, right? And the idea is that we take the topic and we decide whether this statement is accurate or it is not accurate, and we do that. Brad Carson, the thing we call Cap or No Cap. Jason won his Super Bowl last night. I mean, let's just get it out of the way. I don't want to start with the Bills. I want to start with the winners.
I'm glad you're going here. I've got a question for you before we get to it. Are the Commanders good? Taking you too long.
Are they good? I don't know. They don't feel like they're good. Now they are. They
was
are.
McLaurin out there last night.
McLaurin was not
oh
out
my
there last
goodness.
Night. No, I'm just. You're asking about them tonight.
This is how it
today.
Started.
No, I don't think they're bad. They did turn the ball over what four times?
Three
times. Twice in the first quarter.
Well, we're second in the league in takeaways. You know, we might have had something to do with that. And my man said it was football weather. Jaden said before the game.
All right, I'm gonna give you took away one. I'm gonna give you one takeaway. The Jaden Daniels throw in the first quarter was an atrocious throw. I've never seen him throw a ball so bad than that first quarter pass.
Bro, he fumbled a ball later on that bounced back up to him.
Yes, he did.
He caught. You don't get bounces like that typically. I'm just saying.
No, you're right.
That weather that he was so confident about in
yeah.
terms of.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about this. Lisa's football weather. Whoever it was that he was talking to.
Yes.
I mean, he constantly. And then the last fumble, he never had his hand on it in terms of trying to get it to his running back.
And yeah.
So I'm just saying. You know, Washington. He's not normally doing that. Jaden Daniels is not normally turning the ball over. Washington typically has more weapons on the field. They were down to Debo. Bears did a good job on him. All that said, that's still a good football team. You go back to the place where last year, yes, at 4-2 at the time and actually looking like you might be something, I think coming off of a blowout win over Carolina game that attended with Chris talked about it.
Right.
You actually look good at that point.
Yes.
Caleb had played well. This is Eberflus.
Yes.
That Hail Mary, just derails your whole season.
Yep.
You go back to the same place with the same quarterback and a new coach. You're down in the fourth quarter. You come back. Yes, it took Washington blowing it. A good team blowing it. A good team that typically puts you away in these situations. It says a lot. Just to me, it says a lot about growth in terms of within the Bears organization. Now back to Washington, because I think ultimately this is where. Are you good or not? These are games you should finish off. And last year, remember, all those one-possession games, those close ones, they were finishing off. Remember with Jaden as a rookie, a quarterback, which is like, we can't believe his poise and everything else. I still believe they're closer to a version of that than some bad team that's letting a you know, bad team, whatever, up-and-coming team come into their house and win.
Right.
That's a good win for the Bears because I still think that's a good Commanders team is my point.
Yeah.
Are they the NFC East champion? No, probably not.
Right.
Still rest that on Philly, clearly. But that's still a good team over there.
I mean, you know, my whole thing with it is it doesn't even matter if they're good or not, right? Like, this is the NFL. It's not like you're trying to build a tournament resume where you're going to be seeded or anything like that based on quality of win. I mean, it was a road win in the NFL.
Exactly.
You were down 8 in the fourth quarter, and you found a way to get it done. And I thought there were moments in that game where, you know, and it kind of is the Caleb Williams experience. Like, he looks incredible on certain throws, and then he's, like, not even close on others.
He's got the highest off-target percentage in the league.
Yeah.
I think it was at 23% at some point during that game in terms of on the season, John.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of what it is. That's Caleb, though.
Yeah, it is Caleb. And I think he will get better and develop. I think clearly from year one to year two, like, you're already seeing a vast improvement. So I think, obviously, you know, anytime you can do what they did last night, it's a major – and obviously it's a Ben Johnson effect. I mean, you have a real coach. You have a real coach, and you have a real defense.
There, you could talk about the and this is Cap, by the way. It's not a Super Bowl. I mean, Bears, again, are just a team
it was revenge. It was revenge for you.
How to win. Everybody's going to talk about what Ben Johnson's doing with Caleb Williams or what he's not doing or what we're not seeing. Last night, you saw Ben Johnson use his entire, it felt like, offensive fleet of weapons to try to create a run game. Did you see it? I mean, he did. Manon,
yes.
Guy, he was using Rashawn Johnson.
Manon
came out of the dead from somewhere. He's running the ball. The receivers, DJ Moore, those guys were running the ball. My point is, Ben Johnson used everybody to create a run game that hadn't been there all season long. And what it ended up doing, it ended up busting it open for DeAndre Swift, who ends up having the best game of his career under Ben Johnson as a Bear, 108 rushing yards, 175 total, had that long receiving touchdown. And I'm back to the point. He is an offensive genius.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Caleb can just sort of get with it and be willing, be coachable, dude, it's there to be had. Last night was another step. Again, you go back to a place where it all failed and you pull a victory out of the fire.
Yep.
That's good for your confidence. It's good for your franchise quarterback, who seems to be shaky at times with that. But they said they're trying to teach this kid how to fight.
Right.
Because I think you've had a kid who, again, it's come easy for a kid. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams.
A young man.
Who it's come easy for, NIL baby, everything else, one of the first to get that million, and has been handed everything. What happens when adversity strikes? Well, in college, we kind of saw he kind of folded up and lost. And so, and with Eberflus and not having a plan around him, you were sort of, you're going right down that road with him again. Last night, they talked about it. Aikman talked about it. Trying to teach this kid how to fight. And so for two straight games here, I think the same score on both of them. They've come back from down the fourth quarter. It's big for his confidence. It's just a step. It's not a Super Bowl win.
Right.
NFC North, though, only division in football with all of its teams with a winning record.
How many times in NFL history has a team won two consecutive games by the same score of 25-24?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably never happened.
Weirdly, it came down to blocking the field goal against you guys and then making
a
field goal in this one.
Didn't Moody get one blocked, too, in this one?
Yes.
He did.
Yes. One of the four or five, he had one blocked.
And so did the Falcons kicker, which we'll get to here in just a minute. But, yeah, not a Super Bowl, but obviously that's an improved Bears team. Where they end up, that's the fun part. I mean, it's kind of there's no stakes, really.
Third best odds in the division now over Minnesota.
Yeah, like,
some might not believe that should be the case.
Yeah, I mean,
but some of that's based on what we saw from J.J. McCarthy after the Bears win.
Like, see, this
hasn't been great.
We talked about this last week with I don't remember who we were talking about it with, but it is the point that Jeff makes. Like, right now, where the Bears are right now is the best time. It's literally the best time because you don't really expect them to do anything, but it's still, you're having a blast watching them win, watching them learn how to win. And they're going
to
take lumps, you know, but it's going
to
be fun, and it's going to, and they're obviously improving, and so you're like, yo, if we make a push against Green Bay or Detroit, like, let's go. And if they don't win, you're not going to be disappointed. You're going to be like, damn, we actually put ourselves in position. This is the fun time as a fan. Now, next year is when it's not going to be as fun for you, because you're going to be expecting that. And if it doesn't happen, then you're going to be sad. But if it does happen, you'll be happy.
It can stay fun in this window that you have Caleb on the rookie deal. It can stay fun.
Right.
It can stay a lot of fun because you can spend the money elsewhere.
That's right. You got two more years after this one?
Three more, technically, because you get the fifth year, you get the option.
That's right. So three more after this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you guys.
I mean, if we wanted to play hardball with them.
Right, right.
And again, you know, Kyler Murray taught us something.
No, yes,
like,
he did.
Like, be careful.
No question.
You know.
Take it
as far as you can. With one, what you went through was right. What was that, a 9-win season or something?
Yes,
he got
9-8,
kind of 9-7, whatever season it was. It's shaky. God didn't study.
He was 9-5.
My point, now you're stuck.
And now he hasn't had a winning season since.
And nobody will take that deal off your hands if you wanted to trade him.
That's right.
And so that's what I'm saying. This can be the fun time because you don't have to worry about your quarterback being on the big money deal.
Dude, I got to say, like Phoenix, like if you just go, like Phoenix's, you know, sports scene, they pay Devin Booker a bunch of money not to win. And like he's, and that's fine because they love Devin Booker. He's the only good thing they got. Then on the football side, they're stuck with this huge Kyler Murray deal and they can't win around him.
No.
It's like, it's
wow.
A lot of sunk costs in Phoenix right now.
Weirdly, let's listen to Harrington go down their roster. Is it better than the Grizzlies?
Oh, stop, please.
Never mind. I'm just,
please.
We were hoping it's going to be the two pick. I'm just saying. I mean, dude,
what do you like about it?
Booker and Green.
Man, Booker and Green is not going to work.
Mark Williams ain't going to destroy us?
I mean, probably. Probably, but like.
There were a couple other names in there that
Dylan
I like.
Dylan Brooks.
Going to D up.
I mean, I see.
I'm just, what I'm saying is maybe
Jalen Green
team,
was so bad in the playoffs.
He was, but again, he's not a playoff performer.
Yeah,
could be a regular season performer.
Malawach
gonna block shots.
I do like Malawach now. Now
that team could dominate us.
Ryan Dunn.
My point is that, not Phoenix is gonna be better than the Grizzlies, but maybe that pick won't be as bad as I'm hoping it will be.
You know, that's interesting.
Is my point.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
He was going down the roster and the names like, that's a rotation guy. We're trying to figure out ours behind our top two guys. And again, I am not suggesting Phoenix will finish ahead of Memphis. I don't believe that will be the case.
I see what you're saying.
What I'm saying is there's enough there. I'm starting to feel like that. It's not going to be a top three pick.
Because look, you got Devin Booker, obviously.
Super lucky.
Jalen Green is at least going to be able
start
to
start next to him and bring the ball up.
Yeah. Dylan Brooks, defender. I mean, we know what
he
is.
We know what he is.
Mark Williams, Malawach, Ryan Dunn,
Ryan
Grayson
Dunn.
Allen.
Grayson Allen? Dude shooting over 40 in his sleep. Like, they can get you.
Iguodaro has been a decent NBA player.
That's not a bottom-of-the-barrel NBA. I mean, you know, last two picks type team.
It's really not.
I know I got sidetracked here, but I
had
that thought.
The Wizards are a joke, right? Like, they have a bunch of young guys. Yeah. They're going to lose.
Yeah, Utah's going to find a way to lose. Like, there's going to be some teams that are down there.
No, this feels more like a 34 to 36 win team.
Charlotte might come up. We'll see.
Yeah, Charlotte's kind of
just from the basement.
But no, that's interesting. I didn't really look that deep.
You know, they're raving about your man, Con Knipple.
Really?
Yes.
He looked great in summer league.
Wrong man stuff he does.
But we'll see. We'll see if that can can continue into the regular season. All right. Other game in Monday Night Football. We're going to do it. We're going to drop the F word. The Buffalo Bills are frauds. Cap or no cap?
I'm going to say it's no cap that defense is fraudulent. Jeff knows it. You don't have to speak it. He didn't want to address it. But that is not a Super Bowl caliber defense. But I mean, it falls far short of that. And that's their biggest issue right now. And so now you've got Josh Allen putting pressure on himself again. All of a sudden, he's turning the ball over again. Two interceptions last night, and that's what he had cleaned up. That's what he hadn't done. And so this is now a Bills team. You've got Josh Allen looking over at the sideline, and I'm sure. Josh Allen's going to say all the right things, unlike Tua, and say, this is on me.
Yep.
Particularly when you're out there throwing picks. Like, that's what a leader does. But I sensed a frustration, you know, that it just felt like the old days, where there's too much riding on him, defense isn't making enough plays, not using Cook enough. I mean, my goodness. Well, I don't care if it's carries. I don't care if it's catches out of the backfield. I'm riding that guy, especially after I just paid him. So, it just feels like old Bills. I'm sure Bills have got 1,000 things that they'd put. Oh, Jason, this is our offensive line. Josh is having issues. I get all that. But it just does not look same. I would say right now, yeah, I think they're fraudulent because the defense is fraudulent.
Yeah. I would even go as far to say as the offense has problems. Because, like, who's the receiver?
I know.
Who's the guy?
They're tight ends.
Right.
Who one of them was out.
Kincaid was out.
And then Shakir, bro, who's useful, but not a one.
Can't be a one.
Who is their one? Keon. Told you, old slow poke.
Yeah, but he can't really do anything.
Fly route Keon.
He got locked down by AJ Terrell last night.
It ain't hard if you got a decent DB.
Yeah.
He runs one route.
I mean, Josh Allen had 180 yards last night. Keon Coleman had 3 catches for 11 yards. I think Palmer ended up getting hurt.
4 interceptions in the last 3 games for Josh Allen. That's what he wasn't doing anymore.
That's right.
So we're back now.
That's right.
I think with him feeling pressure to carry because they're not going to make any plays defensively, and they have nothing offense, like you said, in terms of a dynamic one.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, what he's doing for the Patriots right now,
right,
would look good on back on this team, and they ran him off.
He would, yeah. I would say like they're going to ultimately be a deep playoff team, but the story will remain what it always is with them, is that they will not beat the Chiefs.
Exactly, so, bro. That's what I'm saying. You've got to have a defense that can stand up.
Like, this really was supposed to be the year for them. Like, coming into the season, it was supposed to be the year for them.
What would Patrick Mahomes do to that defense right now?
I mean, we just saw it. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Lions are and the Bills are rated much differently. I mean, if anything, the Lions are better, right? Because they got Aiden Hutchinson on the edge. They got some. They actually still do have some talent in that front seven. I don't think the Bills have. I mean, they got Ed Oliver, and I know they'll say Rousseau, but I don't see it.
Well, they didn't want to tackle Bijan last night. They weren't interested.
Yeah, it was.
Whatever he wanted. 238 total yards for that young man.
It was eye opening. How many times has Josh Allen lost two games in a row? You know, like,
been a minute. How many times have they fallen out of first? Didn't I hear all last night? New England's in first place in the AFC.
Crazy.
Nutso.
Yeah. Back to back games for the first time since weeks 4 or 5. They did lose back to back games in 2024. Well, did not know that. Not too long ago last season. Anyway, yeah, Bills fraudulent. There's no question about that. In terms of championship contender, they are not that. They will not beat the Chiefs.
Not at this point.
It just makes my statement yesterday about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl that much stronger.
I think you made a bet yesterday, didn't you?
On the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I haven't. I should have. It's probably far too gone now.
Now it's gone.
They were like plus 750. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, $1,000 pays $7,500 for the freaking Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Like, what are we talking about here?
Weren't you coming in off that loss talking about how well that offense performed and we need to be looking at even after the yell?
Yes, the
penalties they had and everything else, you could have took it right then.
I should have.
I mean, you were in here talking
about that
next day.
And then what they do? They go out and they beat the damn Lions. I mean, all they had to do was collect the penalties. They did.
Missed opportunity for you.
You know, I can still buy a dollar for, 60 cents or something like that. It might be worth it. I don't know. I got to look into it. But anyway, yeah, I would say the Bills are definitely fraudulent. Last thing before we get to Jessica Benson, this new UAB coach, the son of the late, great Chris Mortensen, is going to give the Blazers a new coach bump against the University of Memphis this weekend. Alex Mortensen.
And it is fascinating that this is Chris Mortensen's son. God rest his father's soul. I just feel like Trent, those families have loved each other. Don't you feel like Dilfer was feeding Mort scoops back when Dilfer was a player?
Probably. Yeah.
And so Dilfer being fired, Mort's son, right?
Mm-hmm.
The son of the father who got the scoops.
Yep.
From the man you just fired and who probably gave little Mort his opportunity.
Yeah.
This is for him.
Absolutely.
For him. And so there will be a bump. I'm not sure what it means. When we talk about that bump.
Yeah.
Because if you're going just from outhouse, right, to still hole in the ground that you got to use, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like the ancient Egyptians.
It ain't much of an elevation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That might be another 7 points.
Right.
This team is garbage. Memphis is on a mission. Keep game day hope alive.
Yeah.
Some are saying it.
Yeah.
Some are saying it. I don't know if John and I are chanting it. We're coaching bump? Yeah, sure. This bump going to get run over. Ain't even going to be a speed bump.
Yeah, I actually think the number has gotten larger. I think it's out to 21.5 now. So three plus, I think it was 21, now 21.5. So I don't.
They don't have players.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the issue. It's like, I mean, I don't think Trent Dilfer was a good coach, but I also don't think they have the players. So
we have their players.
Right? That's exactly right. It's going to be a revenge game for these UAB
Bracey
guys.
Bracey one of them?
I know Rousseau is. Yeah. I know, which I think he's hurt maybe, but I think this is the game to come back for. So, a lot of revenge this week. And you got Vrabel going back to the Tennessee Titans. You got Memphis players taking on UAB again. So,
yeah, Bracey, UAB.
By the way, sad news. Reports that D'Angelo, the famous neo-soul R&B singer, has passed at 51.
Good grief, he was young.
Yep. That is the report as of now. No details as of yet. I guess it was okay. So he apparently was suffering from pancreatic cancer. And I don't like saying lose battle to cancer. You know, I don't think the last thing that you should do is lose a battle. It's just you had cancer.
I'm gonna tell my family that, like, listen, if I ever have cancer, do not say I lost the battle. Do not let me go out on a nail. All right,
man. That Brown Sugar album, you can continue to play it to this day. 1995. I literally was just playing it in the car the other day.
Yeah,
and you can let it roll. Yeah.
Yeah, lost a great one.
Rest in peace, D'Angelo.
Rest in peace to D'Angelo, gone at 51. We'll come back. Jessica Bentz is going to join us on the other side, talk to her about the Grizzlies as they wrap up preseason. We'll rate the Phoenix Suns roster and more. Jason and John, 90.9 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yes, ma'am. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, Grind City Media. Part of the Grizz Radio Network. She joins us every single Tuesday, and she joins us now. Only two games to go, Jessica. Can you feel it?
Phew. Oh, I feel thrilled that there's only two more preseason games. We're halfway done with the preseason.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and it's like especially grueling because it's like you're not getting the, you're not even getting the taste, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're getting a taste of something, but It's not really what you want to see. I mean, there's parts of it, there's components of it, but you know, if we're gonna do this thing for five games, which is egregious, by the way.
Agreed. Shorten the preseason. We can all agree.
Hey, if the NFL can do it, bruh, the NBA can do it. I mean, it's just that simple. They got 17 regular season games and they said preseason too damn long. NBA got 82. Y'all need to stop being so greedy over there in the association. All right. But yes, I mean, that's the part of it. It's like you're playing these games and Ja's week to week and Jaren's not out there. And he's, you know, so you're not even really seeing what you would want to see primarily is the problem.
Right. You're seeing another reminder that if this team does not have Ja and or Jaren, they could be in trouble. So I think that reiterates, you know, some fears of fans. And obviously we sit here hopeful that they're both available come opening night. And I know Ja has said that, you know, if he's smiling, there's nothing to worry about, and that's great. But until we see it with our own two eyes, it's easy to allow your brain to go the opposite direction and say, well, will we get to see them? When will we get to see them? What will it look like when we see them?
How concerned are you that we're falling behind? That while everybody else, and I mean, the Hawks did it, they played their stars, they played their guys. And so their coach is seeing things that are, you know, he's actually going to see to start the regular season. Yeah, you know, we've talked about it. Cedric Howard hadn't gotten a chance to play with Ja against competition in these preseason games. How concerned are you about having to, you know, for the Grizzlies to have to figure things out on the fly if those guys haven't, you know, gotten at least a little dip in the water before the regular season on October 22nd starts?
Well, and that's the difficult thing now is you're almost assuming the beginning of the regular season operating as a preseason of sorts. And then you are a step behind because every team the Grizzlies have played has played their starters. And when you look around the league, you see, you know, last night Victor Wembanyama's going off, or Kevin Durant has played for the Rockets, and I think Luka's expected to make his preseason debut tonight with the Lakers. So you get these glimpses of other teams doing it, which just fortifies the FOMO of the Grizzlies' experience of this preseason thus far. And you also understand that from the, you know, standpoint of the Western Conference, every game matters. It's hard to really drive that home when there's 82 in front of you. But when you're, you know, coming up around March and April and the race in the West, or the race between not just making the play-in tournament, but like, I mean, not just making the playoffs, but making the play-in tournament, some good team in the West could absolutely find themselves not even participating in any postseason basketball. And then you would look back at, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season and think, oh, could we have come in more on point, more on spot because of a preseason? But I also don't want to be a prisoner of the moment either, because how many times have we all sat here and said, ah, the preseason doesn't matter, it's just the preseason?
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Said it many a time. You're
like,
right.
Maybe this is media talk, and that's what Lionel would say, former Grizz coach Lionel Hollins.
Yes, he would.
So maybe this is media talk, but like, that NBA GM survey came out last week, and like, the Grizzlies were just not relevant in it. Like, they weren't picked to be great. They weren't picked to be terrible. Like, the, you know, I guess Cedric Howard got a couple of votes for, like, you know, best value in terms of draft selection and draft spot. And then Ja got votes for fast with the ball. But, like, they're very much out of view right now as an NBA, you know, collective. Is that possibly a good place for the Grizzlies to be as they start this season?
Yeah, I was trying to warp that thought yesterday when ESPN released that list of, and we have too many lists. Like, we got to stop with the lists at some point. What is this, BuzzFeed 2010?
Well, I love BuzzFeed.
All we get is constant lists. I loved BuzzFeed too. I loved quizzes. I loved lists. But we had the ESPN list of like top trios, or ranking the
cores,
trios,
yeah,
in the NBA.
Yep.
And the fact that they put Cedric Coward alongside Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., and no disrespect to, I hope we're talking about Cedric Coward being a clear, you know, number three most important player, but that's a lot to put on a rookie, and just feels like a kind of a mischaracterization of this season in Memphis. And to me, that just represents a disconnect between the media and the Grizzlies. And a lot of that usually falls on teams that either there's so much mystery around them, no one really knows what to make of them going into the season, or there's just a kind of an apathy towards the Grizzlies at this point. And so ultimately it'll come down to, like, if they start winning games, then people will start talking about them and so on and so forth. We see it happen all the time. But yeah, from a national media standpoint, there doesn't appear to be a whole lot of juice about the Grizzlies going into this season.
I at one time had very high hopes that Phoenix would be just sort of god-awful, and maybe that would represent, you obviously have to do the lottery, but maybe a pick as high as number two. You know, and boy, could that change the fortunes of the Grizzlies if it did finish that high. I'm wondering, you know, I had John kind of looking at the roster before we brought you on. And if you look at that Phoenix roster, I mean, of course you got Devin Booker, and you say, well, there's no more Bradley Beal and no more Durant. But there's actually some role players there. And Jalen Green, at least in the regular season, is a guy who can do some things for you. I'm Dylan Brooks. Yeah. We know him well. Mark Williams in the middle. And they got the man Malawak from Duke, the
man,
shot blocker.
Man.
Yeah, man, I think I prefer to call him because it's much easier. should I not be so hopeful that they're going to be bad? Are they going to be better than we think? And it's sort of maybe we're looking at a, you know, a 6-7-8 as opposed to a top two? I don't know. Am I being foolish hoping for a top three pick out of Phoenix?
Oh, I think it really comes down to what Jalen Green ends up being in Phoenix. Yeah. I think, what is this year, 4 or 5
at
this point. Yeah, and just the idea of, like, what he gives you as someone who can attack the rim. He has, you know, a lot of versatility in his shot creation. Can he continue to elevate as a playmaker? But, like, is he always out there? Is he available to play? Is he a good fit alongside Devin Booker and what they've made up in Phoenix? I really do look at that as the kind of the big hinger between Phoenix being a, ooh, this is a surprise. Maybe they're competing for, you know, one of those like 5 through 8 spots in the West versus someone who clearly misses out on the postseason.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's what, you know, what do you think Jalen Green's going to be? I mean, it will come, but like, do you think he's going to be a relevant winning basketball player?
I mean, he averaged 21 points last regular season. Like, he's in regular season, his numbers have been going up. But
we've seen flashes.
And you said it, Jess. He completed year 4. He's going into year 5. So you're right there on in terms of his experience. Now, he's still young, though. He's still, what, like 23 years old.
I'm not going to lie.
Young, change of scenery can bring a change of consistency. I don't know.
I'm getting Jerry Curl, Jordan Poole vibes, bro, from him. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, professional scorer or whatever. Won't ever contribute to winning, though. Won't ever do the things that you have to do to win. And thus you'll be a guy that everybody convinces themselves, oh, I can fix him. I can turn him into this or that. And, you know.
That's interesting.
Because Jordan was, like, big on that.
He's
Warriors.
You look at him as a cancer now.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no,
a guy you don't want to.
That's right. No good organization wants to be part of him. So, I mean, we'll see. But I think the fact that the Houston Rockets, you know, decided that he was expendable kind of says quite a bit about that. All right.
But also, like, what would you make expendable for Kevin Durant?
Exactly.
You know, that's it's all relative.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, you got to pay something.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
They made their move.
We'll see. You know, that's the best way. That's the best thing I can say about it. We shall see. On to more important matters. Not more important matters, but other important matters. Apparently, game day is not out of the question. Memphis is not out of consideration. Like, you're a college football junkie. How many instances can you remember of game day being in a site where the game kicks off at 11?
Not a lot. I think I cannot speak definitively on this, and I meant to go look it back up. I think one of my games at USC was an 11 a.m. kick. However, game day finishes at 9 a.m. when it shoots on the West
Pacific,
Coast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because I remember going to McDonald's and with my friends and getting food between the end of game day and the beginning of the game and, like, tailgating and all that good stuff. But so that was a, you know, a West Coast example. I can't think of one where the show is ending at 11 and the game is kicking off at 11. I'm sure they have to have done it at some point, though, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't even be in consideration.
And you couldn't put it on Beal and still do the game at 11. So that was one thing. And then what do you think about this, Jess? Maybe we're putting too much stock in it. But the fact that it could potentially be an ESPN2 game, that they've announced that. I can't ever remember game day coming for a game that's going to be
for an ESPN2
potentially
game
on ESPN2, right? I mean, I didn't know.
Do we know what the alternative? Do we know what the option is? Like, who they're deciding ESPN versus ESPN2 for?
No. Right? The choice?
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not yet.
No. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And then we're factoring in an FCS 1-2 that week with North Dakota State, South Dakota State.
Oh, I'm all in there with you guys on that one.
Okay.
I think they could absolutely do a spin on this and say, actually, we're throwing our FCS bone of the year. They're 1-2, North Dakota State, South Dakota State. What a rivalry. What
an
opportunity. Outrageous.
Especially if LSU lost to Vandy like this week. I mean, then it would make more sense to go
but then if LSU loses to Vandy, what if they went to Nashville for Vandy, Missouri?
I mean, who?
No, you're right. I mean, you're right at that point.
Memphis,
I mean,
losing game day to an FCS game or losing game day to Nashville?
But
which one would hurt worse?
Well, I would also argue that Missouri could easily lose to Auburn on the road this weekend.
Could.
That's true.
I think they're a short favorite.
And even though they weren't at Vandy, they had Vandy with at Alabama, right? Or no?
Yes.
Am I making that up?
Yes.
It was just a part.
They
weren't there, though.
They were in Tuscaloosa.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, like, man.
I'm not holding that hope. I'm done.
I got to be honest. Like, every time I remember that Missouri is in the SEC, I just ask why. Like, they just never feel like they're in the right place.
Like, no, they made it there.
Like, they're
congrats
playing, like, you know,
I don't even think
Alabama
they think in Columbia. I don't think they think they're in the right place when Alabama comes rolling into town.
Big 12 or something.
or even the Big Ten, I would say they'd be a more natural fit for. Like, they do not belong. And like, that is just so stupid that they're in the SEC. I feel nothing about them. I never will, and I don't accept them as a member of. I live in the Southeast, and I do not accept Missouri as a member of the Southeast Conference.
Okay.
Just do you believe that UAB will get the Chris Mortensen son bump?
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
The coaching bump.
I sure hope not. I hope they don't get the UCLA experience where they are a completely different football team after firing their coach. I don't imagine that they will. You certainly don't want to overlook UAB if you're Memphis, but this should be, you know, a very winnable football game ahead of you. That is the only thing that stands between you and an unbeaten record going into one of the biggest games in recent memory at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium when South Florida comes. And that is why game day should be there. And it's absurd. I didn't even say it's absurd that that game is being played at 11 a.m. Like, we all got so focused on the what this means for game day element that I don't think it's been given proper pushback that a game of that magnitude gets put at 11 a.m. after you already had to do Memphis, Arkansas at 11 a.m. Give this team a night game, please.
I'm with you. What does your football eye say about how those two teams stack up? And that's why the reason I wanted to ask you the UAB question first, because we don't want to overlook. And so now that we're here, you know, what does your football eye tell you about a South Florida-Memphis matchup in terms of the way it might come out?
Honestly, South Florida is terrifying after that performance Friday night against North Texas. They were so good after those early turnovers, and you're like, oh, this North Texas kid, Drew Mestermaker. I was mid telling my husband his life story as we have the game on, right as he threw the pick. And I'm saying, yeah, he's so good, he hasn't turned it over. And pick thrown, tides turn, you know, second half of that game for South Florida was wildly impressive. Byron Brown has been great. Their defense is pretty excellent, and from you know, where it stands within the American, I think it'll be a really difficult test for Memphis. It will also be, you know, when you have a difficult test like that, it really serves as a proper barometer of what this Memphis team is. And that's where you look at it as a legitimate matchup, a legitimate idea, not just from a win-loss standpoint, but from a, can this Memphis team realistically make this push to go to the college football playoff? And they really haven't had one of those outside of Arkansas, and those games get weird. And obviously Arkansas has had their issues and firing their coach and everything that happens following. But from a conference standpoint, like, this is the one, this is the real test to see how good you actually are.
All right. It's October, which means it's spooky season. I'm going to present this to you. Stay with me. Somehow you have found yourself in Saw. You know the Saw movie, right? I want to bring a game.
Course.
Right. And, you know, every, I don't know exactly what your sin was, right?
Okay.
You know, maybe it's a, you know, flailing fantasy football team. I'm not sure what the sin was, but you've,
at any rate, you've been
kidnapped and you're now in Saw. And your game specifically is, you have two choices. You have to pick between Trent Dilfer or Deshaun Foster. And whichever coach you pick has to win. They have to win.
Oh.
They're coaching against each other. Right,
they're coaching against each other,
but one has to win. You have to pick the winner, and if you win, obviously you get your freedom. Mm. You get your freedom, and you're out of the game.
Mm. I think I would take Trent Dilfer.
Oh God! I mean, I guess you have to.
He has won, at least, right? I don't feel good about it, but
I'd love to hear your logic.
Okay, my first logic is that he would scream so much at a team, I think he could motivate them into a single game win situation. Mm. And I don't feel the energy from Deshaun Foster.
I think I would take Deshaun Foster.
I don't feel good about either. I think I would take
Deshaun Foster. I think Trent Dilfer is worse than Deshaun Foster because
maybe I'm just taking Trent Dilfer because he's a, you know, former whack quarterback.
Oh, he is whack. He is whack. Deshaun Watson won five games last year. Or excuse me, Deshaun Foster won five games last year. Trent Dilfer never won five games in his time at UAB.
Yeah, but he lasted longer, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just because UAB
three,
is broke.
Deshaun lasted two.
That's because UAB is broke and couldn't fire him after last year.
He was very disrespectful.
Now I want to know.
He was.
I want to know who UCLA beat last year. That's my new question.
All right. I'm glad you asked, Jessica. They beat.
I've got it. They beat Hawaii.
Nice win on the road.
16-13 barn burner. They beat Rutgers.
Yep.
They beat Nebraska.
At Nebraska.
Iowa and Fresno State. Okay, maybe I changed
my
mind.
There is no way Trent Dilfer would be able to coach a team to a win on the road at Nebraska.
Okay, I should have asked. Are we playing college football or high school football? Because if it's high school football, then Trent Dilfer does.
It's actually good.
No, it's just what they do now. It's college football. It's college football, man. It's like this is the – and you chose Trent Dilfer, and I think, you know, you're going to meet an untimely end in Saw 9. I really do.
I have one for you. We do this a lot with you. We've got something, an opening now that might create a huge domino effect, obviously, with Penn State. We do this with you a lot.
Yes.
The Jessica Benson first call as it relates to the Penn State job. Who you calling?
I mean, you're calling Kurt Cignetti, but he's putting down the phone immediately.
No reason for him to take it, right? I think I agree.
There's just no reason. I mean, I guess a dollar amount could always be the reason, right? Like, you come up with something that you throw out at a Cignetti or a Lane Kiffin, or like I saw someone even say, like, a Kalen DeBoer, and you try to lure. But realistically, I know it's not popular, and it doesn't even make me feel good about it, but the Matt Rhule thing seems to have some juice.
It does.
Even with his comments, either yesterday or the day before, about, you know, seeing himself at Nebraska, you know, extensively. I don't know what the exact quote was, but he left the door open, essentially. So that makes too much sense. But you have to at least call the big dogs because you're Penn State.
Yeah. Jessica, thank you so much.
You're the best.
And maybe next time you'll make the right choice.
Maybe. We'll see.
Have a great night and day.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks. Bye.
She is Jessica Benson. Joins us every Tuesday here on the show.
Silverfield, 22-1.
22-1.
Next Penn State hit.
What is that, Bet Online or something?
Yeah. BetOnline.ag.
Matt Rhule's the favorite?
Matt Rhule is the favorite.
Who else we got on there?
It's interesting. Silverfield 22-1, 25-1. Ed Orgeron.
Absolutely no
from
chance.
From the dead.
Absolutely no chance.
How Silvy's those basically close to Ed.
Yeah, how is there that even possible?
No, Silvy's way down the list. John Sumrall's 20-1. Right. There's a whole bunch of guys. Lane Kiffin's third. Kurt Cignetti's got second best odds. Lane Kiffin, Manny Diaz, Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, 12-1. Joe Brady, Will Stein, Brent Key, John Gruden.
Yeah.
So we're going a little far down here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's an interesting.
Penn State can't let it get down to there. It has to be the person they call.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be missing.
Well, Matt Rhule is not sexy at all, but, I mean, I think that job is a tough job.
He's 3-1.
I mean, Penn State has won basically under one coach, right?
What happened to Luke Fickell?
Yeah,
he's about to get fired at Wisconsin.
He is.
What happened? I had him pegged as a great one.
I mean, all these power five guys, when they make that jump, man, they you know, who's the last one that was really good? I mean, Fuente got fired. Norvell's about to get fired. Fickell's about to get fired.
But it's the rest of it that balances that out and makes it, you know, not such a great job.
Lane doesn't count to me because he was an NFL coach and he was a Tennessee coach, right? He's at Tennessee. It's not like he was a, you know, FAU to Ole Miss was you know, there were a lot of stops in between, you know, before that. So I don't think he really counts as that making that jump. Like, who's the guy that got his start at the group of five level that's jumped up and is really killing it? Maybe I'm missing an obvious name here.
No, I'm
I guess Heupel, right?
Yeah.
Heupel was at UCF.
Yeah. And so was Golish with him, yes.
Yep.
So he's about a tree because Golish about to get a job.
Yeah. Yeah, Heupel's a pretty good one.
Who's my TCU guy? He had it, but he's kind of slowed down a little bit. Sonny. It's slowed down for him.
Yeah, it has. But, I mean, he had a run.
It started off great.
Yeah. Trying to think, like, where was Cristobal? Was he at Oregon? He was at D.C., right? He was never a head coach. Oh, he was the head coach. He was a head coach at Oregon. Okay, so he was FIU in 2007 to 2012. You got to say that's a pretty good success story there.
Yeah,
but that's a long time ago though. That was he was in a group of five 13 damn years ago. So Cignetti, he's probably the one. James Madison to Indiana, and he's been crushing it. He's number three in the freaking country, man. That's probably the guy. Where was Elko? He was at Duke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if he coached in Yeah, he was never a head coach at the group of five level. He was just an OC.
DC, and then went to Duke. So anyway, interesting piece there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Penn State's going to do. It's a tough job to kind of gauge, in my view. It's like what should it be in 2025? It was once upon a time. It was like one of the top brands, and I guess maybe they still fancy themselves as that, but I don't know. In that league, it's just a black hole with Ohio State, and now Oregon. You know, are you third? Are you behind Indiana now with Cignetti? I mean, he's probably not going to stay there forever. I don't know, but
I'm assuming Indiana's going to pay him whatever. To yeah, Jess's I mean, point about what Penn State could do, just make it an offer he can't refuse. Indiana's going to.
How do you let him go if you're Indiana football? He's given you something that you really never had.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you give him a blank check, right?
Yeah, we said highest ranked opponent they've beaten since the 60s.
I mean, he's gonna use the hell out of that Penn State job for leverage.
He's gonna get him a raise.
Yeah,
but it's more of a pressure cooker there. There's no reason to let it get you the raise, even if it's not meeting what you're gonna get at Penn State. It's enough with the peace of mind and lower expectations. I mean, you set those sort of like Lane at Ole Miss.
Right.
You set them now. You are the expectation there. You're the king there. With a raise, that's the way to go for him.
Lane Kiffin is number 10 in the country, highest paid. He makes $9 million a year.
Anybody in that Penn State job is going to be expected to beat Ohio State. I mean, there's a pressure that comes with that. Who wants that? Who wants that? Who's ready to go into that? Lane Kiffin? If I'm Lane, I'm staying where I'm at.
All right, here's a question. I'm going to throw it to you. True or false? We're talking about the Penn State job. True or false? Come the beginning of the 2026 college football season, Kurt Cignetti will be the highest paid coach of college football.
The highest paid coach highest of college paid football. Coach. Who is that right now?
It's Kirby.
Kirby? Okay.
And he makes $13 million a year. Kurt Cignetti makes $8.3 million.
I mean, if Kurt Cash is in here.
Because I'm sure he just got a new deal, but Penn State is going to come calling.
100%.
And so he's going to get a new deal.
I would think so. They're going to rip it up or add to it.
I mean, he'll certainly want to be paid more than Ryan Day at Ohio State, who makes $12.5 million, which is hard because
Ryan Day won a national, even asked for that.
All right, so you'll make him the third. You'll put him over Lincoln Riley.
He will not be the highest paid.
Lincoln Riley makes $11.5 million, so you'll get him to $12 million.
Absolutely,
that's what you'll do.
Yeah,
because Lincoln Riley hasn't done anything really at USC.
Huh.
He's just a name.
Yeah.
So he'll be top three. That's kind of amazing.
It is
at Indiana.
He's earned it.
He has earned it. And you would be foolish if you're Indiana to not do that. If you, like, sit here and say...
But now, I mean, you know, what's he won?
We got the playoff. He got Indiana to a playoff, and he's going to do it again.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that's... You're gonna pay him top three money for doing something historically that's not been done in Indiana if he's still not beating Ohio State in those teams.
Yeah.
You know, you still got to do that at some point, you know, that once you raise it up. Yes, he'll be the standard. They won't expect him to do that every year, but that's the next step for him now. I don't know. I'd hesitate to think of Cignetti as a top three coach just because he's done something in Indiana hadn't been done since the 60s.
Right.
Never, you know, been in a college football playoff.
Right.
That said, should he be that? He hadn't won the big. He hadn't won his conference yet.
So you gonna let him go?
No, I ain't letting him go. But there's gonna be a limit on what I'm willing to go to if I'm Indiana.
What's your limit?
What's my limit?
Yeah.
If I'm paying him $8 million, it's probably $12 million. I don't know. We're a basketball state, as you know now.
Not anymore, man.
Who's your daddy?
Oh, it's new days now.
Now, we're still trying to get that back, our halcyon days in basketball now. Yeah. We got to focus there. This is great, what we're doing in football. We're not used to it.
Right.
We're not used to it. 12 is our limit.
All right, 12 is the limit. I think that's what he's going to get.
You said that'll put us in top three, top five range, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like the next quarterback up in terms of sometimes they're not the best, but they get the best deal because they're the next ones up. So put them in the top three, man. Still haven't won the conference title.
USA Today has all these salaries out there. It's interesting. The American, Ryan Silverfield is technically of school. You know, there's a lot of, you know, schools that are private that did not report what their salary, like Tulane, we don't know what Johnson Rowe makes. Golish is number one. He and Traylor are both number one with 2.5. Traylor is, Jeff Monken of Army makes 2.4, which is amazing. Ryan Silverfield makes 2.25. He's fourth. In terms of publicly available salaries, he is fourth with 2.25.
Yeah, but he's got a never-ending deal.
He does. He does.
That is true. Nine games.
That thing is perpetuity.
Right?
What is it if he wins?
You got to put an asterisk by his deal.
That's this right.
Might be the sweetest deal what, ever done in the America.
If he what is it? If he wins four games, he gets an extra year.
It's not four.
Okay,
but we get your point.
But it's like it's what is it?
It's nine. It's I'm nine, pretty sure nine. It's nine.
Nine and 100,000 bonus
mm-hmm.
or raise or whatever
every time.
Now, I mean, nine wins is still nine wins. That's 9-3. That's not an automatic.
But we've been failing into 10.
That is
and 11, 10, 11. I'm failing in not winning the conference.
No, you're right. Memphis fans were so mad last year winning 11 games, and y'all getting mad.
Not all of them were mad.
Silverfield getting rich.
Some of them were out front and defending him.
That is
no. This is again no shade whatsoever. This right. is a good time to be a Memphis football fan. And Ryan Silverfield has all things aligned right now. I hope he cashes it in.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't miss out.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Big college football weekend, obviously. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss taking on Georgia. Kirby Smart, that'll be a fun one.
Fun one.
I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
We'll get into all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I turn up ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.